Hello, everyone. You are listening to Advanced Studio Classroom. It's May 3rd, and we continue our trends article. It's day three, actually, of our trends article. My name is Brandon. Back in the studio, I have Simon and Linda. Welcome back, panelists.
Thank you.
Good to have you here. We've had a good discussion the past 2 days. Simon, what have we been talking about so far in this article?
Well, we've been talking about trends, but we're going to continue talking about those today. So more specifically, the last few days, we've been talking about how new foods and flavors and spices, usually exotic ones, become popular and then are spread throughout countries and restaurants and different people eat them.
Yeah. I have a question for our panelists. I'm going to ask Linda first. Do you ever feel like you get into like a food rut where you're just eating the same thing?
Yes. Especially when I'm cooking. I cook like the same 10 things. Really.
Well,
and then I'm like,
I really
need to get out of this.
So you have to try something new, right?
Right. And, I have people over for dinner. I'm like, oh, have I made this before? Because I have like 5 things I make for company for dinner. Mm-hmm. I'm like, I really have to get something new.
Yeah, you have like your signature dishes.
Yeah.
People know you for that. Like my mom makes really good lasagna, so she will usually make that for people or something like that. Do you ever get in a food rut, Simon?
I'm in one right now, Brandon. I'm in one right now.
You know, listeners, sometimes here at the office, we're going for lunch and we think, oh, what are we going to eat today? Because we're like, we eat at the same places a lot and it's hard to come up with something new. I know it's a terrible problem, right? It's not really that big of a deal.
Yeah.
But you can get into these ruts and it's good to try new things. But today, we're still talking about trends, but we're talking about an appliance. What is the name of this appliance, Simon?
Well, it's called the Instant Pot, and it's not really a new thing, but it is definitely a new trend.
Yeah, it's a pressure cooker, but they've kind of packaged it in such a way that maybe they've kind of souped it up, so to speak. They've added all these, some other functions maybe. They've marketed it in such a way that it's become trendy. Lots of people are buying this.
Right. I think they've made it so it's not scary, actually.
What do you mean?
Well, pressure cookers, like, basically when I was a kid, like you were taught to flee the kitchen as soon as the pressure cooker came out because basically, you know, the rule is don't heat up a sealed container, right? People always tell you this because it might explode. And with a pressure cooker, you're basically heating up a sealed pot.
Mm-hmm. Okay. I didn't grow up around pressure cookers. I grew up around slow cookers, which maybe you turn it on overnight, which I don't know if that's suggested, but a lot of people do that. Or you turn it on in the morning and you let something cook for several hours, maybe 6 to 8 hours.
To make it, whatever you're cooking tender, like especially meat.
Mm-hmm.
Well, yeah, I'm with Simon. My mom, because I grew up on a farm or lived on a farm for when I was a teenager, she did a lot of canning. And when you can like vegetables in particular, you pressure cook them to seal them at the end.
Right.
So yeah. Speaking of fleeing the kitchen.
That was basically it, right?
Yeah.
Like, I don't want you kids in the kitchen.
Right.
The pressure cooker is on, you know?
Yeah.
Like, it was thought of as a dangerous thing. That said, I've never heard of anyone being, you know, like
blown up
by a pressure cooker, so.
But you have to adjust the valve at the top to make sure that the steam was coming out just right. So, to me, you know, I would be interested in this because it's all push button and it does it itself.
But this, I guess this idea of the Instant Pot, or more specifically the idea of a trendy appliance, is an interesting one because it expands the things we've been talking about, trendy foods, into the area of gadgets, which are always, you know, trendy things people like to buy. And I think back on some of the food appliances I've bought over the last few years. Like, for example, we got a blender because, you know, we wanted to make smoothie kind of stuff.
I'm sorry, Simon. A blender is not a trendy item.
Yeah, but
they've been around forever.
The point being you want to equip your kitchen with a bunch of different appliances, like a sandwich maker, like a, you know, a George Foreman grill.
Oh,
that one would have been trendy.
Yeah.
Different things like that. I mean, most recently I bought a toaster because I wanted to make toast more readily.
I don't think that's trendy. But anyway, back to the George Foreman grill, maybe listeners don't know what that is. It's this machine that's kind of amazing. It cooks things very quickly. You can put meat on there, and it will cook it maybe, what, in half the time.
I think it's because it's cooking from the so you open it up, mm-hmm. and it's like a grill.
Yeah.
And you put your piece of meat, or you can roast vegetables on it, and then you close the top, and you can, it cooks it in half the time. And also, I think the reason it was popular is because for meat, it drains the grease off of it.
Yes. Yeah. It's sitting on an angle, so
right.
the grease falls out of it into a little drip pan.
Mm-hmm.
By the way, George Foreman is just a famous boxer, and they use his name. Marketed this.
He was in all the advertisements.
Yeah.
Making the meat.
So that was very trendy, and this has become a trend, this Instant Pot, and then they describe it as a craze, Linda.
Right. And if something's a craze, it just means something that's extremely popular, usually for a short time.
All right. Well, we have much more to talk about. That was a nice little introduction, but if you have your magazine, open it up to page 12, and we'll have our first reading for today.
Give in to the Instant Pot craze. The greatest trick the Instant Pot played on people was convincing them that they were trying something new. Pressure cookers have been around for years, but they now have the cachet of a catchy new name. While designs have changed over the years, all pressure cookers do basically the same thing. By increasing the pressure inside the pot, the temperature of water can be raised from a maximum of 212 degrees Fahrenheit to nearly 250. This allows you to transform tough cuts of meat and dried beans into dinner in less than an hour. Electric pressure cookers are the ultimate set-it-and-forget-it devices. Just add the food, set the time, and walk away as it cooks in almost silence. The Instant Pot also promises the functionality of six other appliances: a slow cooker, rice cooker, steamer, sauté pan, yogurt maker, and warmer.
All right, well, they played a trick on us, I guess. It says the greatest trick the Instant Pot played on people was convincing them that they were trying something new. It's not really a new concept, is it, Linda?
No, we talked about that before, actually. The Instant Pot is just a new way of marketing and making a pressure cooker from when I was a child, or Simon was feared for his life and ran from the room.
I'm just saying, if a pressure cooker can be trendy, so can my blender and my toaster.
I guess it depends on the toaster and the blender that you have. Well, maybe they've improved up on the original pressure cooker. Maybe the original pressure cooker was much more simple, but this has more options or functions.
Yeah, we've read about that later on, but I also think that there's a period of time in the last maybe 10 to 15 to 20 years that people didn't use pressure cookers very much.
Mm-hmm.
You know, they seem to be like from my parents' generation or my mom's generation.
Well, they have been around for years. Pressure cookers have been around for years. But they now have the cachet of a catchy new name, cachet.
It's kind of like a quality that makes something popular or cool, I guess. Right?
Mm-hmm.
So I guess you would say the popular appeal of a catchy new name. And a catchy new name just means it's easy to remember. It sounds really great.
What does a pressure cooker actually do? Basically, they all do the same thing. What is that, Linda?
A pressure cooker? Okay, if you have a tough piece of meat, you can put it in a pressure cooker and it will cook it quickly, but it also will tenderize it.
Mm-hmm.
And my mom, she used to do that with a pressure cooker, and also it cooks food very quickly.
Mm-hmm.
So if she wanted to, we were running short on time or something, and she wanted to make a fast dinner, she would make it in the pressure cooker.
Yeah, and you may use a slow cooker for the same thing, and it may take two or three times as long. So the pressure cooker will achieve the same goal,
mm-hmm.
but it's really quick. And so that's a nice thing because especially in our day and age when we like to do things quickly, right?
Yeah.
So we get an idea here about the temperature and so forth. They increase the pressure inside the pot. The temperature of water can be raised from a maximum of 212 degrees Fahrenheit to nearly 250 degrees Fahrenheit or 100 degrees Celsius to nearly 121 degrees Celsius.
That is a huge difference.
I'm just so glad you changed that to Celsius for me because I thought for a moment there I was the only person who couldn't understand these Fahrenheit degrees.
Yes, of course this was from the United States and they use Fahrenheit there.
Mm-hmm.
Well, this allows you to transform tough cuts, as Linda was talking about, tough cuts of meat and dried beans into dinner in less than an hour.
That is pretty amazing.
That is awesome.
Yeah. Because, I mean, the thing to remember here is that water boils at 100 degrees Celsius. It doesn't disappear. It just turns into steam, right?
Mm-hmm.
And so if you don't allow the steam to escape, you can increase the temperature. Mm-hmm. And so having that extra hot environment, I guess, just turns that tough meat into delicious.
Kind of melts off the bone.
Tender yumminess.
And I've eaten food from an Instant Pot. I've never used one myself. I know a family here in Taipei who has one and they love it and it doesn't take very long to cook the food. I ate some tortilla soup from it, which is pretty good if you've never tried that. And so they dump all the ingredients in there and I guess close the lid and voila. A few minutes later, an hour, I don't know how long it takes, it's done. And so it doesn't take a long time to cook the food. But if you have a slow cooker, it may take, I don't know, 2, 3, 4 hours to do that. And so it really does save you on time. How do they describe it here, Linda, in the next paragraph?
Okay, so now we've gone to electric pressure cookers. I think I should go back and say the kind that my mom probably and Simon's mom used were not electric at all. Okay, you put them on the stove, so you had to watch that steamer, that little valve at the top for the steam. But it says that electric pressure cookers are the ultimate set it and forget it devices. So you just put the food in, as you said before, and then you put on the time, and then you go away.
All right, and it cooks in almost silence. Of course, I think there's some steam that's being let off, right, that may make some noise there, something like that. What about the functionality, Simon?
Well, this is, you can sort of see here why it's such an amazing popular trend. It's not just a pressure cooker. It has a few other appliances all in the same thing. So it offers a slow cooker for you, Brandon, a rice cooker, a steamer, which, of course, is just a thing used to cook vegetables using steam. I guess you can cook other things, too, but usually vegetables. A sauté pan, a yogurt maker, and a warmer to just keep food warm.
Yogurt maker. Wow.
I know. I was surprised by that, too.
Probably because if it's a warmer and then a yogurt maker, you have to set that at a very low temperature to get your milk to set to become yogurt. So I'm sure that there's a setting on there that's just above being a warmer for food that keeps it at a certain temperature for.
Okay.
I actually wonder how much of this you could do in a slow cooker or just in a rice cooker.
Well, I was looking at this and I think that for the rice cooker, the steamer, I know you can steam in a rice cooker. Some of them you can saute in the bottom of them.
Mm-hmm.
If it's a warmer, also it's a warmer because you can put like muffins or, manto in a rice cooker and it'll warm them up. So probably a lot the same, but I think the Instapot will do it a lot faster.
Yeah, that might be the case. But it sounds good, right? If you're trying to sell a product and you say, well, it has the functionality of six other appliances, it causes people to pay attention. Like,
Oh,
maybe they don't think about these other appliances that may do similar things.
Well, I was talking to two friends last night and they both went to school abroad. And they both took a rice cooker with them.
Mm.
And that's the one appliance that they use to do everything.
Yeah, that's pretty common.
Yeah.
For people
traveling.
So I
think that I wonder if, like in the States, that this Instapot will do the same thing.
Maybe so. Mm-hmm. Well, we did talk about the word saute here, a saute pan, and that just means you cook the food in oil until it is browned.
Like frying it.
Yes. Right. So that is a bit of an introduction here to what the Instant Pot does, but next we're going to get into the manual setting, which can be very helpful. Let's find out about that in our next reading.
Pressure cooking. To cook things under pressure, acquaint yourself with the manual button, and all will be fine. This allows you the flexibility to pick the proper time for each component. But the manual button can lead to apprehension. Once any electric pressure cooker is fully pressurized, you can't open the lid, so you can't check the progress of your dish. Therefore, accurate recipes are essential. If you're feeling apprehensive, I recommend Daniel Shumsky's How to Instant Pot, which goes into great detail about what each button does and the best way to accomplish simple tasks.
All right, what about that manual button? If you don't know what else to do, just use the manual button. You know, if anything has a manual button, it just means you can do things kind of your own way. You don't have to follow the setting, the pre-programmed setting.
Yeah, the opposite of manual is automatic,
yeah,
where it's all set and done for you. Right?
So it says, Linda, to acquaint yourself with the manual button.
No, I don't want to know the manual button.
You want that pre-programmed
mm-hmm.
button, right?
Mm-hmm.
Me too.
Mm-hmm.
But why do we need to acquaint ourselves? What does it mean, first of all, to acquaint yourself with
become
something?
Familiar with.
Right. So why do we need to become familiar with the manual button?
Well, for some things, you know, that you're going to cook, you need to become flexible about the time that it says here to pick the proper time for each component. So if you're making, for example, the soup that you said you ate, I would assume that the chicken would take, if it was chicken usually it's chicken tortilla
mm-hmm.
soup, right?
Yeah.
It would take a lot longer to cook than some of the other ingredients they put in.
Right.
So maybe you have to add them at a different time.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, that's what I'm assuming right. that it means here.
Right. Basically, the manual button just gives you a lot more control
mm-hmm.
over what the machine is going to do, because you can arrange the settings yourself for different foods that maybe aren't included in the automatic settings.
But it can make you apprehensive, apparently.
It already has.
Apprehension is, it means you worry about the future. If you have anxiety, basically, you're anxious about something. Why would it create this apprehension, Linda?
Well, I think it describes it very aptly as it continues in the paragraph, because once any electric pressure cooker is fully pressurized, you can't open it. Just like that's why we fled the kitchen when we were younger. You can't open that sealed pot, as Simon said, that you should never cook on. So you've turned on your electric pressure cooker and then it's pressurized and you can't open it. So you can't check the progress of your dish.
Yeah, if you have something on the stove, you can just take the top off of it and check it, but this you can't, and so you may wonder, am I overcooking it? Something like that.
Yeah, right. But even more than that, like appliances just have a really bad reputation for being hard to program and hard to set up, right? Like everything from, you know, the classic VCR DVD player to figuring out how to set the clock on your microwave. Like they're very difficult often to do. And so when you start trying to set things yourself, it can be very intimidating.
You know, we have an espresso machine and my husband went away for like 3 weeks. So I asked him if he could just show me how to use it. And he got what he calls, I mean, it's kind of like the model that will never die. So the directions to make a cup of coffee are a page and a half.
Yeah.
I'm like, yeah, I'm never making a cup of coffee without him.
6 hours and 14 pages of instructions later, you learn how to turn it on.
Well, you know, at appliances, some of them last a long time. My parents had a microwave that lasted for about 30 years. It recently died, and mm-hmm. that was incredible. How can mm-hmm. a microwave last that long?
But the clock on my microwave hasn't worked since we first programmed it, and we've never set it again.
Yeah.
Never set it again. So
yeah, think that's common.
That's the thing, you know, there's a lot to be said for three buttons as a maximum on a device, right?
But I think all that aside, I think what this article is trying to say is that, we are naturally apprehensive about things we're not familiar with. Or like in my instance, it's things I grew up with that actually brought about a little bit of, you know, apprehension when my mom was using them.
Right.
And, so now they're saying you should use this again. But the key here is that you need an accurate recipe.
Yes.
That's what it says at the end of this.
Follow that recipe to the point, because if you don't, you may overcook or do something. You can't check it and be adding other ingredients and all of that.
So as I said, one of the things it's supposed to do is take a tough cut of meat and make it tender, but you could also turn it into a piece of leather.
You don't want that. Mm-hmm. Jerky, I guess.
Yeah.
Well, if you're feeling apprehensive, what does the writer recommend?
Well, basically, the writer recommends a cookbook. And so the name of this book is How to Instant Pot, and it's written by a person named Daniel Shumsky.
Mm-hmm. Goes into great detail about what each button does. So this is great. If you get this new appliance, you're not really sure about what all the buttons do, this book apparently will take you through each step. And so hopefully we'll release some of that anxiety that you may have.
And I think if we're all feeling like, I'm not going to stand here and read a cookbook, just remember that probably once you learn the best way to accomplish a simple task, then, you know, it just stays with you. So that part of it, the more you use it, the more it becomes automatic.
Right.
So the first time you're going to be using your Instant Pot, it takes a bit longer. But then, you know, just reassure yourself, I'll get used to this.
Right. All right. Well, we have a little more to discuss concerning the Instant Pot. We have one more reading. Let's dive off into that right now.
I use the Instant Pot less for one-pot meals and more for cooking components that would take ages otherwise. Beans don't need to be soaked and can be done in less than an hour. Fresh tomatoes transform into a bright pizza sauce in 12 minutes. But just as important as figuring out what the Instant Pot can do is identifying what it can't. Learning what is worth it and what's not is part of the process. In other words, it's another tool in the kitchen. For many, including me, it's already an indispensable one.
The writer of this article, he says that he uses the Instant Pot more for cooking components. Now, we were talking about that chicken tortilla soup. So maybe he wouldn't use it for everything. Maybe he would just use it for parts of that dish.
Right. So he could probably cook his chicken a lot faster than normally, you know, because you'd have to either boil it or do it in the microwave and shred it. But in an Instant Pot, it would take, you know, a fraction of the time.
Yeah, he uses this phrase, it would take ages otherwise to cook everything. And that's a good phrase to know. Ages just means a long time. Sometimes I say, I haven't eaten at this place in ages. It means I haven't eaten there in a really long time. What about beans? What do we learn about that, Simon?
Well, we're basically getting some examples of how this Instant Pot can speed up the preparation of different ingredients that might go into a bigger, more complicated meal. Beans, of course, normally take a really long time to cook. If you're going from dry beans, you kind of have to soak them, often for a very long time, and then you can cook them. But it says here, beans don't need to be soaked. And they can be done in less than an hour, which is a really quick time for cooking beans.
Mm-hmm. And tomatoes, those fresh tomatoes can transform into a bright pizza sauce in just 12 minutes. That gets my attention. I like pizza.
And Simon does too.
Yeah.
I can see an Instant Pot in your guys' lives.
Yes.
Or just a can of pizza sauce, maybe.
Yeah. It's hard to say. But just as important as figuring out what the Instant Pot can do is identifying what it can't. And so that's an important thing to realize, what it can't do. You need to know that maybe before you buy it.
Right. That is true, because sometimes our expectations are too high. You know, we have a new, like, this is a craze now. Everybody's getting it and they're, you know, going on and on about how wonderful it is. And so our expectations might be, oh, okay, this is the answer to all my problems. But mm-hmm. it might be an answer to 85% of your problems.
Yeah. Right.
And it's interesting because throughout today, we've kind of been comparing this pressure cooker to a slow cooker. But actually, they're really quite different. When we mm-hmm. talk about using the pressure cooker to prepare individual ingredients, when you're using a slow cooker, often you use it to prepare things like chili or stews mm-hmm. or things like that, where you kind of just throw everything in and then you come back and your meal is ready.
Mm-hmm. But this one, you can do both. You can do the component or you can do the whole thing together,
right.
depending upon what your ingredients are.
Right.
So that's why it's very important. I can see why you need to like how to Instant Pot or get an Instant Pot cookbook to know what you can cook together or you have to cook separately.
Right. It probably depends on what type of cook you are,
yeah.
what you like to do, and does this fit into, you know, your needs. In other words, it's another tool in the kitchen we see here in the last paragraph. For many, including me, the writer says, it's already an indispensable one. He likes it, apparently.
Right. If something's indispensable, it just means that it's so good or important to you that you can't do without it or you couldn't manage without it. So apparently he does a lot of cooking in his Instant Pot.
Well, we have more information there at the top of page 12 in our sidebar. We hear from the author of the Essential Instant Pot Cookbook. And what does she say, Simon?
Well, she basically tells us that she heard about this through some of her friends, actually food writing friends. So these are people who actually would be pretty aware of different food trends that were kind of coming out. So this probably was a fair bit before the idea of the Instant Pot went mainstream. But she says two people in my group were really obsessed with it.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
And she describes she likes gadgets and so forth, kitchen gadgets. And she says in the end it's become my main method of cooking. And so she uses it a lot. You know, sometimes you get an appliance, but you don't use it very much, right?
Right.
You're like, mm-hmm. why did I buy that? And so it's not worth it, but she says she uses it often and that it's really convenient. And
well,
so.
Well, remember she wrote the cookbook.
Yeah, right. So good point. Right. So you have to consider the source.
Yes.
Well, that's all the time we have for this Trends article. We hope you have enjoyed the discussion that we've had here about food and trends and appliances and so forth. We hope you'll join us again next time here on Advanced Studio Classroom. Until then, this is Brandon,
Simon,
and Linda
saying goodbye.
Goodbye.
Bye.